You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Captain, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for no good blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to the Common Sense Show. This is your host, Dave Hodges, and we're coming to you live as we do every Sunday evening. And if you're listening out there on the West Coast, it's 5 p.m. and on the East Coast, it's 8 p.m. And these are consistent times, and I'm so glad we made that switch. And speaking of making the switch, how do the rest of you people around the country feel waking up today out of sorts because the government told you had to change your clock? If daylight savings time isn't the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of, I don't know what is. But here in Arizona, except on our reservations, we don't change. But it does create confusion when you're scheduling guests. So anyway, I'm rested, didn't have to change my clock, and I'm ready to go. And we have a great show for you this evening. We are going to be joined in the first hour by Vicki Davis, and we're going to be talking, among other things, the UN refugee resettlement invasion of the United States. I hope Vicki doesn't think I'm being too strong in that terminology. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by my good friend Paul Martin, and we have a couple of surprise announcements that we're just going to keep under our pillows so no one interferes with the show until it's time. In the third hour, of course, in our usual slot, is Katie Whalen, our health reporter, and she's going to be bringing us the latest in health news. And, of course, in the last half hour, our newly appointed and wonderful news director, Jim White, is going to bring us our Red List news segment. And Jim will have a whole bunch of announcements and other things that he and I are presently involved in. Okay, that gets the preliminaries out of the way. And fresh off the 3%er conference about the invasion of the United States is my friend Vicki Davis. And Vicki, it's really great to have you back on. It's been too long.
Yes, it has. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it was a great day. It was a rally against refugee resettlement. And I'd say there were about 300 people there, and it's so exhilarating to be out, you know, with people that are alive and active and, you know, actually stand for something.
Yeah, so. Not people that just sit in front of the TV with the remotes and mindlessly watch NFL football. And the enjoyment you get from the NFL, well, NFL stands not for long. So let's get down to it. Refugee resettlement. I've written about it. You've been talking about this forever. You were so far ahead of the curve. It's amazing. But let's get right down to it. How far has this gone, and what kind of trouble are we in?
I would say we're in big trouble. They are bringing in massive numbers of people that they are calling refugees, but the UN has a term that they use for people that just moved to a city in another country and they claim asylum. They call them urban refugees. They're too upscale to go to a refugee camp, so they just, you know, pick themselves up and move to a city in another country and find the nearest UNHCR office and claim asylum status. And the UNHCR has a partnership with Manpower Incorporated. And so these people that they're calling refugees really are not refugees.
Well, when you said they have a partnership with Manpower, I equate Manpower from a long time ago with creating jobs. And, you know, come to us, and if you're unemployed, we'll put you to work doing something. Is that what this is about?
Yeah, yeah, same company. But now they're global and partnered with the UN High Commissioner for Refugees.
Well,
so.
One thing really bothers me about this. We've had on a couple of very prominent economists, very highly respected, John Williams, Joseph Meyer, and they all say the same thing, that our under and unemployment rates combined is about 23%. So am I understanding that this American-based, originally American-based organization is hiring foreigners brought in without screening over American unemployed citizens?
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. Because some of my earliest research had to do with the outsourcing of jobs over to India, IT jobs in particular. But that was occurring at the same time that plants were closing and they were moving their production over to China. So there was so much unemployment happening at the same time that the federal government stopped producing the mass unemployment report. That was the one that reported, you know, like when a factory would close or there'd be several factories close. That report would give the statistics on that. The government stopped producing that report because it was so bad. But it was like every quarter there'd be 435,000 jobs lost. And that went on for a number of years. And, you know, record foreclosures, record bankruptcies, that kind of thing. I remember one story in Oakland, California. A new Walmart opened up, and there were 8,000 people applying for about 300 jobs at a Walmart. And you know, that was just probably around 2005. So it hasn't been that long. And now they're bringing in people, especially young men, military age, in spite of what, you know, the images that they give you, that these are, oh, poor refugees that have been in camps forever. Not true. Not true at all.
Well, this is what I was wondering. I've seen pictures all around the net. I've written inquiry articles about this. When you see these men, let's back up. They're ostensibly escaping a war zone. They're supposed to be war refugees. Since when do men who are athletic and look like professional soccer players or military people, since when are they the only ones leaving a country and the women and children are left behind? Am I missing something here?
Not at all. Not at all. And as a matter of fact, this last year there was an issue in Idaho about legislation that was titled S-1067. And what that was about was whether or not the Idaho legislature should change our laws to recognize a Hague Treaty, a Hague Convention. And what the convention was on the collection of international child support. Well, when you put that piece of legislation, which was unconstitutional, mind you, for our state to pass that and to adhere to a Hague Convention, which is really ratifying a treaty, what that was about, when you look at what this refugee situation is and you know the background of the guest worker program, what they did is to set up a system whereby people working in this country that are foreigners from foreign countries can have a cheap and easy way to send money back home. So it's an extraction. It not only puts Americans out of work, it's an extraction of wealth from our country. For every foreigner that is employed here that sends money out of the country.
So they're paid here what percentage typically of a worker's take-home salary is exported to the country of origin?
I couldn't tell you. I would imagine it would depend on how much money they're making and, you know, what the cost of living differential is.
You know, how do we know that money, Vicki, how do we know that money actually gets to the children in a foreign country and isn't just gobbled up for use by the host country?
Well, we don't, actually. It's supposed to be a system for child support, but who knows, you know, what kind of fees might be attached to it. I think that they're trying to cut into the business of Western Union, you know, which transferred just, I don't know, millions, maybe billions of dollars out of the country when this whole invasion of our country started. But
let me throw in another hypothetical, and I'm going to go conspiratorial on you.
Mm-hmm.
These people are normally coming from regions that are known for their terrorists, that are openly hostile to the West, and in particular the United States. And what I'm really concerned about is we have been known now, I mean, this has been exposed, Vicki, we've done it on this program, it's all through the net, independent media has covered the fact that this country has covertly, normally through the CIA, supported rogue organizations that engage in terrorism, such as Al-Qaeda, and the overthrow of Libya and Gaddafi, and I could go down the list. But what I'm really concerned about now is this is wealth redistribution, and rather than the money staying in the system here in the country and benefiting the country, how do we know this is not going to terrorist organizations to fund arms acquisition so they can be the proxy troops of the CIA as they have been in the past? I know that's conspiratorial as hell, but that's where my mind went on this.
Well, we know that that is happening. There was a big case, I forget, a big foundation in Texas was doing that very thing. They were collecting money here and then shipping it over there to support terrorist activities. The Holy Land Foundation, I think that's what it was. I think that an organization, I think it's called CAIR.
CAIR. Yes, I'm very familiar with CAIR. They're the lead Islamic organization in this country that is responsible for the promotion of Sharia law over American constitutional law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this.
Yeah. There are a number of states, a lot of states that are trying to pass laws saying that we only recognize American law. But that tells you how far down the road this whole sellout of our country has gone. If we have to pass laws to say that we only recognize American law, that's totally insane. It's gone way too far.
I need to just kind of summarize where we've been. I mean, I don't know if you realize how much info we've just distributed in the last 12 minutes. It's phenomenal. So very quickly, if you're just tuning in, and we're only touching the surface here, but if you've just tuned in the last 12 minutes, we've covered the uncounted refugees. We have estimates, but the refugee resettlement program run by the UN, they're calling these people urban refugees now. They're too upscale to stay in a camp. They might build a FEMA camp for you and I, but they're too upscale to stay in a refugee camp. And manpower, you've heard of manpower. Remember, it used to be the work organization for Americans out of work. Well, now they're the work organization for people coming in from known terrorist regions who are out of work. And they're taking that money that they're making, much of that money, and sending it overseas. And Vicki has just identified a couple of organizations here for wealth redistribution to terrorist organizations to fund terrorist activities, such as the Holy Land Foundation and, of course, our favorite CAIR, C-A-I-R. Vicki, sorry to do that, but there was so much information there that I thought we had to kind of get all the ducks in a row here before we go forward. Okay, so we have this massive influx of people. Any idea how many there are right now and how many are coming?
No, every time I hear the number, it changes. And it's always changing up. The last I heard was about 85,000, but I can't swear to that. I really don't know how many. It's just a lot. You know, they're expecting the United States to take a huge chunk of them, and I think there are something like 20 million, quote, refugees around the world. So these people that they're bringing in, they're not really refugees. They're economic migrants. And
Is there any indication that they're fifth column terrorists?
Oh, yes. Well, as a matter of fact, they're just not too long ago, there was a case in Boise of a couple of people that were refugees, came out of the refugee system, and they were arrested for raising money and trying to organize to send money over there to support terrorism. So, you know, it's really just kind of a matter of time, I think, until something actually happens. All the literature that we have says that they wait until they reach a certain percentage of the population, and then they rise and, you know, start trying to inject Sharia and inject their customs, you know, basically using our own laws against us.
Incredible. Do you remember what that percentage is of saturation they hope to achieve before they become active?
I want to say around 10 or 15%.
That makes perfect sense to me. There's a social psychology organization, research organization, called SNARC, S-N-A-R-C. And I've mentioned this on the air before, but SNARC has discovered through their research what does it take for a fad to become a trend and a trend to become a movement. And they say that when 10% of any given population are infected with a fever, so to speak, drinking from the Kool-Aid, that's when stuff starts to happen. So that 10% figure makes perfect sense to me. And are you familiar? I'm sure you are. We are way past 10% in places like Dearborn, Michigan, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think they're basically gone. There are no go zones there. You know, where,
and for those who aren't familiar with that term of no go zones, tell the audience what that means.
That means that it is an area that is basically all Muslim. It's Sharia, and it's very dangerous. Well, if you go there, you go there at your own risk. Because they don't want you there, and they make it known.
What about the law enforcement? Do they go there?
You know, I don't know. My guess would be that the police department has Muslim policemen on it. That's, I think, what community policing was about, is to have a representative, you know, representative of the population. And I know that here in Twin, they've hired a couple of refugee. Now, I don't know if they're Muslim or not, but I know they've hired a couple of former refugee policemen. So, yeah, they're trying to make everything absolutely equal. And this is kind of a little bit off the subject, but the HUD financing for affordable housing, they are trying to they're enforcing a racial distribution in order to get grant money to build affordable housing.
What do you mean by racial distribution? Is it like a quota system?
Absolutely, a quota system. And they are resettling refugees in all the rural areas, you know, which traditionally have just been, you know, mostly white. And so they are targeting rural areas in order to equalize the population. And it's in their final rule, a rule that was just published recently. So they're actually doing that.
Well, this is nuts. I mean, the fact that we are standing by and allowing this to happen. You know, we need immigrants in this country. We have 1.8 birth rate. We need to have 2.1 to maintain Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and so forth. But we sure don't need it in this form.
Well, you would wonder, why aren't they bringing the Christians over? But they're not. The Christians that live over there, they're not the ones that are being brought over here.
Well, what about the Coptic Christians? I mean, they're being beheaded by ISIS, and they're being beheaded even by Egyptian nationals. I mean, why aren't we bringing those people here?
Well, that's the big question. If we need to replenish our population, why aren't they doing it with people with a compatible culture?
So I want to make sure I understand this. Christians are not allowed in this refugee resettlement program. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, I don't know that they're not allowed, but one lady in a meeting that I was at that has relatives over there said that they are not bringing Christians over here. They're bringing only Muslims, but I can't say that absolutely for a fact.
Do you know, if I make this statement, the way we are today with political correctness designed to stifle free speech and the truth, I'm going to be branded an Islamophobe. But this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Every first-year law school student is taught that. And now we're looking at the introduction of a minority culture and giving them majority status, majority privileges, and the rest of us are just supposed to shut up and take it. Anyway, we're going to step aside for a break. We'll be back with more of this outrage and more detail on this outrage after a word from these sponsors. Well, we certainly live in an uncertain world with an uncertain economy that I think has a definite shelf life to it. $19 trillion in debt, a $1.5 quadrillion credit swap derivatives debt. We're being bled from every direction, as you're hearing from our guest, Vicki Davis, where American money is being siphoned off to the Middle East and known terrorist areas through the support of programs like Manpower. Unacceptable. How long can the dollar survive this? Well, a lot of people think not very long. So we are encouraging people at foodforliberty.com to get prepared, get ready, store up on your food, your water, and the means to protect your assets. And you can get the best food there is on the market for the least expensive price on the market. And you can put into the coupon code TAKE10 and take 10% off your order. And you can have 6 months same as cash. I don't think we could make it any easier than that. Go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges to see all the options we have available for your future food needs. That's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Also, what are you going to use for a medium of exchange if the economy goes down, if the dollar tanks? You won't be able to give away a dollar bill. It'll be good for nothing but burning it in your fireplace to keep your house warm. So you're going to need a medium of exchange. And again, I refer you to my good friend, Steve Quayle, at Renaissance Precious Metals. Steve has the most integrity of any person I've dealt with. There's a reason why I partnered with him. I trust him. I believe in what he's doing, and he's trying to help people right now. You need to have a medium of exchange, and the only thing that traditionally holds its value are precious metals. Give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And I'd like to remind you, too, of my ongoing war with Google. And those of you who listened to my interview with Doug and Joe Hagman on Thursday night of this last week heard me in detail talk about the games, the attacks that YouTube and Google are perpetrating upon the Common Sense Show and a whole lot of other people. And that's why I'm encouraging you to get away from these people. We need to make them hear crickets chirping. So my friend Mike Adams over at naturalnews.com has introduced a new search engine, goodgopher.com. That's goodgopher, G-O-P-H-E-R.com. Don't let me catch you using Google. You'll be in trouble. Well, we're back with our guest, Vicki Davis. And Vicki, we went into the break. We're talking about wealth transfer. We're talking about the deculturization of America. So let me shift the discussion for a minute to Germany and Sweden. And I've made this statement. I said, watch Germany, watch Sweden, and you're watching America's near-term future. And I was called a fearmonger by many people. What's your reaction to what's going on in Europe, and does it relate to what's happening here?
Well, it's absolutely appalling. Of course, they're getting much higher numbers much more quickly than we are because there is just mass migration out of the Middle East. And the last thing I saw this morning before I drove to Boise for the March Against the Refugee Resettlement Program was a picture of a Swedish girl who was dead. She had been raped repeatedly by a Somali refugee or migrant or, you know, whatever it is that they're calling them over there. But, since this movement, you know, opposing the refugee resettlement program has caught fire, I just have seen just horrific images of things going on over there. And we can't have that here. We don't want that here. We've got to get this program stopped.
Well, in Germany, they're saying that they're going to have 1 million of these refugees by the end of the year. My sources, I've got a source inside the State Department. No, it's not Monica Wesolowski. It's somebody else. I don't want to get Monica in trouble. But one of my sources inside the State Department says 1 million is a gross underestimation for what's coming to Germany. It's probably more like 5 to 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in a lot of trouble here because, Vicki, it sounds like they're going to reach that 10% threshold pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And I think in some places they already have. There was a story not too long ago about some small town. I think it was Austria, but I'm not sure. Maybe it could have been Germany. But there were only like 3,000 people in the town, and they have been invaded by 10,000 Muslims from the Middle East. And they were told, the people there were told that they were going to have to pay taxes to take care of these people, and if they don't like it, they can leave. So they're being told they can leave their own town in their own country, you know, to make way for these people that, you know, are coming from the Middle East.
Well, we're talking to Vicki Davis from channelingreality.com, and Vicki, we'll get to your second website in a few moments, but one of the things that I've been reading in Germany is that people in major urban areas are being evicted from their apartments in Germany to make room for the Muslim immigrants. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I saw that story about the German woman who was kicked out of her apartment to make way for refugees, and I heard they were even putting beds and cots in Dachau and Auschwitz, you know, because they're big facilities. They've been refurbished, and so they're using those facilities to house refugees.
Can you imagine if even 5 years ago we would have said the Hotel Auschwitz and the disdain that statement would have brought, but now it's a reality?
Yeah. I know, it's pretty insane, isn't it?
It's more than insane. Well, Sweden is going through very similar things. I have a former foreign exchange student, actually a couple of them from Sweden, but one in particular I've been hearing from, and he's telling me in certain areas of Stockholm, you don't go out of your house at night. If you're a local person, you don't go out of your house. What do you know about what's going on in Sweden?
Not that much, other than that, just that whole, just about all of Europe is, they're being invaded. You know, I don't care what the State Department calls it or the mainstream newspaper. It's an invasion. And it's what do they call it, a caliphate? It's the global caliphate. And the intention is to have Sharia law all over the world. So, and the people that are denying that, they're just, you know, I think they're living in la-la land or something. I don't know. I truly don't understand what's wrong with those people.
Well, Vicki, we've had people from the Middle East emigrate here to the United States, people of Islamic faith. And they've come in, and they, in the past, they've conducted themselves honorably. They've added to the mainstream of society. They pay their taxes. Their children attend our schools. So what's different about these immigrants in years gone by and this new brand of immigrants we have coming in?
There seems to be a sense of entitlement, which is really a difference between, you know, just immigration or bringing refugees in and an invasion. If people arrive on your shores with an expectation and the officials, public officials, pave the way for them at the expense of their own people, I don't think you can call it anything but an occupation. And so that's what I think is different.
I agree. It is an occupation. It's an occupation to change the majority culture. We're seeing evidence of it all over the place. And you're right about the entitlement. I see that as well, too. But I think it's even worse than that. The FBI, and I'm sure you've seen this, and I bet it was a point of discussion at the Three Percenters Conference, the FBI has said, quote, we don't have the resources to screen these people. Are you aware
right.
of that?
Well, yes. Yeah, absolutely. They do not have the data. Now, every time a State Department official talks about it, they say, oh, we have all these really great processes in place. They check the NCIC database and all of that stuff. Well, fine, but if you check a database and there's no data in that database, you haven't done anything. A procedure is not the same thing as doing the actual, having the actual data. And they do not have the data. And both DHS and the FBI have said so. They can't vet these people because they don't have the data. And there are countries over there in the Middle East that are selling visa or selling passports. And so, you know, we don't even know what country they're coming from. Now,
okay.
supposedly the DHS interviewers are really terrific interviewers at you know, vetting people. And the State Department says, well, these are the people that have helped us. But then you go back to what you said, Dave, which is that our State Department is, and our government is funding terrorists. So who are these people that have been helping them? They are terrorists, right?
Yeah, well, you got to figure a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. When you look at people and the figures I've read through the years, the government, this is the government's own figures, they've repeatedly put this out for decades, that, you know, Islam's a religion of peace, and the people are basically nice, and they just want to be left alone. And I think for a lot of those people, that's absolutely true, because people are people. But the figures the State Department has routinely put out has said that 10% of these people are radicalized. So if we look at a shipment of 440,000 refugees to Idaho, for example, then by the State Department's own admission, 44,000 are terrorists. That's an army.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, that would be, it isn't that high, fortunately, but Idaho only has 1.5 million people. So, but when you move, you know, hundreds of people into a town the size of mine, you know, about 40,000 people, and they've been doing this, they've been building up the population, and this latest announcement on the numbers of people coming from Syria, you know, it's adding up. It's adding up substantially. And there's something else, too, that I just discovered this. Idaho is still a targeted employment area, a T-zone. And what that means is that the unemployment here is greater than 150% of the national average. So why are they moving refugees here to Idaho when our unemployment is higher than the national average? It doesn't make sense. Doesn't compute.
Well, I think it makes sense. It means there's jobs for them to get, and they'll have plenty of money to send back to their terrorist friends back in their home countries.
Well, yeah. And while Americans are left jobless, and you know, a lot of them are homeless, I understand that there's a waiting list to get on into public housing here that's 2 years long. If, you know, you're an American and you need subsidized housing because you're not making any money, you've got a 2-year wait. But the refugees come in and they're just put right at the head of the line.
It's incredible. Our health reporter Katie Whalen slipped me a note and basically wanted me to ask you about the refugee camps being burned down in Sweden. What do you know about that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I would wonder why are they burning them down? Are they a health hazard? You know, Idaho just posted, not too long ago, they posted a job announcement. They're looking for an Ebola specialist.
Yeah, I wrote about that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, let me tell you why I think this is critical. I found out that they're not just bringing in people from Syria and Iraq and Somalia. They're bringing in people from West Africa. And in West Africa, they're having a resurgence of Ebola outbreak. It's not being covered in this country, but it sure as heck being covered in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So does it make sense why Idaho would hire an Ebola coordinator?
I don't know. I kind of take that, the whole public health system, I take it as a threat, actually. There was the fact that they do have an Ebola program and that they're worried about it, I consider it a threat.
Well, I think someone in the Idaho state government considers it a threat. I mean, this is an admission that they think there's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the public health system in Idaho is privatized. It isn't even, you know, we have the health and welfare office, but the public health people are contractors to the Idaho Association of Counties. So, and they're the ones that run the district health and welfare offices. So, I don't know how much of our government has been privatized and how much of a factor that is in these actions that I consider to be actions of a rogue government.
Do you have any evidence that either on an international basis or a federal government basis that they are coming in and demanding that Idaho allocate a substantial portion of its public resources to supporting this immigration?
No. If I did, I would publish it in 36-point font. But I do kind of think that there is that is going on, because the economic development districts, which is a whole other topic that we really should talk about sometime, are actually helping to fund businesses for foreigners. Like there's a Chobani yogurt factory. It was started by a Turkish guy who came over here as a college student and miraculously got, you know, several million dollars to buy a closed craft factory. Actually, more than that, because, you know, it was a big factory, so. But somehow, miraculously, he got a loan for that. And then when he decided to open up a factory here for the yogurt, he put in $18,000 towards the infrastructure costs in the building, and the economic development district put up $25 million. So that doesn't square with any kind of business model that I understand.
No, it's called wealth redistribution of public resources to support a private agenda.
Exactly.
That's exactly what that is. The misuse of money, if it's not already happening, I got to believe it's already happening, but if it's not happening, it's going to be out there in front very, very, very quickly. Another question, and this is something I don't know if you've thought about or they talked about at this conference, but there's the enormous push in this country for parents and kids to be vaccinated regardless of any safety concerns or religious concerns, religious exemptions from vaccines. Is the federal government requiring these immigrants to be vaccinated the same as American citizens are being required?
You know what? I really don't know. I don't know. But since they're just arriving, I would imagine that they are vaccinating them. But I don't know. Good question.
You know, if you were going to go to the dark side of conspiracies, though, and you want health pandemics designed to end the country, end up the country in martial law, what a great way to do it.
Yeah, I have never had a flu shot, and I never will, because I consider it a bioweapon.
You know, you're not alone in that estimation, and yeah, I made a mistake a couple of times very early on, but no, they don't get a hold of me. But it's amazing how they're trying to enforce vaccinations on children, and I mean dozens. I mean, vaccinations that I never was exposed to as a child. We have vaccinations for vaccinations now, and I gotta believe that if they were vaccinating these people, we'd be knowing about it. That we'd be promoting these people. Look how nice and clean they are, and they're healthy, and they're all perfectly vaccinated. I don't think they're being vaccinated. That would be my suspicion.
Well, I don't know. They do tell us that they have gone through health checks, but what that means, I don't know, because, you know, I don't know what the incubation period is for diseases like Ebola or, you know, but I mean, why would they be hiring a program specialist for Ebola, specifically Ebola? So,
from the time of first exposure to Ebola, I know the answer to this question. You can incubate up to 30 days. The average time is about 14 days. This came out the summer of 2014. With the Central American immigration factors, but also the West Africans were coming in with them. So I did some research on this, and I talked to a number of healthcare personnel, and it's 30 days on the outside for incubation. So if they move these people pretty rapidly, they would go right through a health screening because they would be asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy.
And we don't, you know, so much of this refugee resettlement program is in the dark. Because it's all privatized. You know, the USAID and the State Department, they contract with what are called VOLAGs, the voluntary agencies, international agencies. And then here in Idaho, like I said, you know, the public health system is privatized, and they're handling refugee resettlement in Boise. But here in Twin Falls, the Refugee Resettlement Center is at the College of Southern Idaho.
Oh, my God.
So,
that's a nice thought.
Yeah.
They have one of the best junior college basketball programs in the country, and I think you just cut the legs out from their recruitment for next year. you know, I tell you what, my son wouldn't be going there with what I'm hearing there. No way. Vicki, we talked about channelingreality.com as one of your websites. Let's talk about the other one.
Okay, the other one is a new one. I had to set up a new one because my old one is technologically getting to be obsolete. So it's called www.thetechnocratictyranny. TheTechnocraticTyranny.com.
And will people be able to log on to that website and find a lot of the things that we've been discussing tonight?
I have it kind of split. My original research on refugee resettlement is on channelingreality.com. But my newer stories that I've been doing, particularly as it pertains to the economic development system that they have set up, is over on the new website. So I suppose one of these days when I have some time, I should put that all together. But, you know, I tend to be fairly prolific, so.
Yes. Yeah, you, I mean, you have, I mean, you're the kind of researcher, you'll go into C-SPAN and create transcripts, and I remember you were doing this a few years ago, and you were producing documents that no one else was even talking about. What's available on C-SPAN is amazing.
Oh, it is. I go back, you know, whenever I think of something. I went back to 1991 the other day. I was interested in the founding of the Democratic Leadership Conference, you know, because that's when the whole technocratic tyranny really took root. You know, was when the Atari Democrats came to power with the Democratic Leadership Council, with Bill Clinton as the presiding CEO of the Democratic Leadership Conference. So
that's a scary, scary thought. Well, in the couple minutes we have left, Vicki, what would you advise? Because I'll tell you what, you've got some people angry now sitting on the edge of the seat who might not be as familiar with this topic as you are. What would you advise these people to do?
Start a local chapter opposing refugee resettlement in your area. If they're not doing it in your area now, they will be. So, and there's a lot to learn, you know, about the system and the program. And there's some really great videos and information on a lady named Ann Corcoran's website.
Yes.
And the Center for Security Policy, Frank Gaffney's organization, has a lot of information. But, you know, even if you only have like three people, start a group and start informing yourself, find out about the program, and get active, get out there, talk to people about it. Because what the mainstream media is telling us about it is misleading, to say the least. They're not telling us the truth.
They don't tell us the truth on very much of anything, which is why programs like mine and researchers like you have to do what we do to try to set the record straight. And you do a wonderful job. And I appreciate you coming on, Vicki, and sharing your wealth of knowledge with my listening audience. And as circumstances change and develop, I look forward to having you back on. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Okay. Vicki Davis, channelingreality.com, good place to start. She has a link to her other website, thetechnocraticcity.com. And let me bring in Katie Whalen. Katie, I can't wait to get your reaction to unscreened health, well, let's put it this way, medically unscreened immigrants coming into the country. What say you, health reporter of the Common Sense Show?
Well, first of all, can you hear me okay?
Hear you just fine.
Okay, I'm having a little Skype issue, but I think it's outrageous. I'm already seeing them here in my little town of Parker. There are whole families showing up, and they've got full family memberships at very expensive health clubs, which I'm wondering if they're getting, how they're getting the money for these things. There's apartment complexes going up. I mean, thousands of them, and nobody can figure out what they're for. And as far as the health issue, I agree with you. I don't think they're being screened. They're not being vaccinated. They're bringing in, I read something where over in Europe, they're bringing in all kinds of diseases, antibiotic-resistant TBs and all kinds of horrible things. So, yeah, I think it's a chaos in the making, and we haven't hit it yet.
Well, we got to step aside, Katie, for our top of the hour break, but that was a predictable reaction. But health club memberships, that's a new one on me. That just speaks to the further wealth risk redistribution that's going on. And the question I'll leave everybody with as we go to the top of the hour break, how many third world immigrants can you take on until you become the newest third world country? We'll see you in hour number two.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.